Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
God's building something through these 2 months. That's as accurately as I can communicate what God's speaking in my heart, that God's building something in us. He's building something in this church. And, you know, it's interesting because there's so many voices out there. And both your problems and the solution all have voices. You know, it's interesting. You'll hear of people that are serial offenders or that are lawbreakers, and they'll say, "Yeah, man, I heard this voice, or this voice led me." And I believe that even though they're usually crazy, or they're crazy, let's just be honest, that it's accurate, that our problems have a voice and the solution has a voice. And I believe our life is determined by what voice that we're tuned into, or what voice we're paying attention to, or what voice, you know, when I listen to the voice of the problem, my faith is always a grind, always. Listen, the faith that God gave us is not given to us for us to grind it out. See, it's interesting. In this world, you'll have tribulation. And Jesus said, "But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Knowing that, it's like, wait a second. There's going to be issues. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be adversaries. There's going to be problems. But God, the idea of God is that he's going to enable us and empower us to overcome whatever challenge or whatever problem we face. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. I personally don't believe that disease can kill you, personally. I believe that fear attached to that disease will absolutely kill you. And in looking at it, the Bible says, above all, you know, we've got the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But Paul said, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. See, if we think about that, if the faith that we have, that God's given to us, the faith that we have, the measure of faith that we have is sufficient to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. That means none of them can hit us. None of them can be piercing to us. All of them are deflected off of that shield of faith. Now listen, your problems have a voice, but when we read God's word, now listen, we hear what he's saying, okay? What's God saying? Well, what's his word say? And we hear what he's saying, but listen, but when we meditate upon God's word, we get God's nature in what he's saying. Does that make sense? See, when we hear his word, we hear what he's saying, but then when we meditate, see, the Bible doesn't say to read his word ever, anywhere. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. To read his word so intently that you're getting it, and the information doesn't stay informational, it becomes transformational for us in our lives. See, that's what God's doing. And I'm looking at it firsthand in people's lives, just the reports I'm getting back just from the last 2 weeks. And really, honestly, it probably started before that. But the reports I get, they're transformational type reports. They're not just these serendipitous kind of miraculous, and I love the miraculous reports. But it hits at a deeper core, a deeper level, where now it's like, wait a second, these are transformational moments in people's lives where lives will never be the same. You know, I believe that you can receive a miracle and then just go do whatever you did. You know, what's interesting is that the old school way of thinking is that people receive healing and then lose it. How can people lose their healing? And it's because you go back to the life that you were living. You go back to the mindset that you had. And when we meditate upon God's word, we realize God's nature in this. And there's so many voices out there, and we're bombarded with all this information. And it's not just because of the online stuff. I believe it's been forever. But now, I believe that there's so much information coming from so many different angles that now, wait a second, it's all in plain sight. See, before, there were so many things I was completely ignorant of. But now it's like, wait a second, oh my gosh, that has operated like that my whole life, or maybe before my life, and maybe for the last 100 years. But now I realize it, and me realizing it doesn't change anything. Nothing. I'll tell you, that's where the Bible says, be ignorant of evil. See, everything, most of the information we get, you think about it, most of it that resonates with us there's an evilness to it. That it's like, oh my gosh, that's heinous, that's nefarious, that's, wait a second, whoa, 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 time out. What did you just say? What has been happening? Well, none of that's new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's all how the enemy has operated since the fall of man. See, what we have to realize is that by Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it opened them up into a world where they released Lucifer on the earth to hold a lease on the earth. He doesn't own it. We are rightful heirs of everything. But he has a lease. And let me tell you, there's an end date to that lease. And it's binding as long as everything in your life is subject to gravity. But see, we realize now that the things like that we're born again. Well, I'm born again. I'm born again, so that means all my sin's gone. But what's as big as my sin being removed from my past, me being born again, what it does is it elevates my citizenship from any country on this earth to heaven. Remember where God said, look, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways and thoughts are so much higher, higher than, listen, the heavens are from the earth. See, we are not subject to the affairs of this world unless we allow them to hold us subject. It could be a diagnosis. Man, if you get a diagnosis from a doctor, understand there's a reality to it, and it could be very factual. But here's the great thing about facts. Facts change. The truth never changes. I've been preaching this for over 30 years. I'm telling you, facts, they may be a bug on your windshield. That doesn't stop your journey. That doesn't keep you from your destination. See, it's just an annoyance. And listen, I am trivializing what the devil can do in our lives. I'm minimizing it. See, we don't sweat that at all. See, we have to understand that in this world, that the world is created, that everything about it, it's heinous and nefarious, it's evil, it's whatever. But let me tell you, we're not of this. We're in it, but not of it. And see, that simple thought right there that usually it goes, whew, or it's almost like a game of catch, where God gives you a soft toss, and he says, here you go, and you catch it, and instead of holding it in your heart, you like you're playing catch, and you're ready for the next one. No, here's how we play catch with God. We make the catch, we keep it. We make the catch, we keep it. We make the catch, we keep it. To where our hearts and our lives are so jam-packed with the promise of God. See, that's what we live by. That's what matters. Everything else, you guys online, everything else is a distraction. Everything. Well, yeah, but the economy is determined by this. Really? For real. The economy. I mean, something just happened in Wall Street where I'm like, what just happened? What did they do? I laughed when I heard about it. I thought, this is nuts. This makes the gospel so easy because they're shucking and jiving and bobbing and weaving. And you know what? We're standing on, God has given you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant, period, end of subject. And you might say, well, but it's not about wealth. Really? Bible says it is. See, the vision of your life, and here's what determines your provision, is your vision. Provision always follows vision. So if you want to be a broke Christian, God will let you be a broke Christian. If you want to live a more than enough life, God will let you live a more than enough life. It's all determined by the meditations of your heart and the words of your mouth. Remember, we have to study the word to show ourselves approved, not read it. We have to study it. We have to get it. Man, you parents in here, you got to teach your kids how to study. Why do I have to learn algebra? Why do I have to learn trigonometry? And I'll tell you why those are important for students. Because they're not questions. See, a history test has questions. An algebra test has problems. See, so what are we creating our kids now? That I'm just not answering questions like a robot. I'm solving problems. See, because what is life? X plus Y equals Z. Well, I've got a little brother that's a Mensa genius. He does it all in his head. His entire life, he's had teachers and professors at graduate level courses that have said, you have to show your work. He said, I did. I answered the problem. I solved the problem. And they're like, look, how did you get there? I got there here. He's a Mensa genius. You probably don't want to have a social conversation with him. But if you don't want to know the square root of any number, he could tell you like that. But see, understanding this is that the way I am now, I got to show you my work. Well, the problems of our life, there are solutions. But in between the problems and the solution, there's a lot that goes into that. That's pretty plain and simple. Jesus said it's simple enough for the smallest child to understand. See, everything else is a distraction. We are being distracted. We really are. I'm praying for godly politicians. I'm praying for, man, people that are righteous so that we can live in peace. But here's the bottom line. No matter what happens, I'm going to preach the word in season and out of season. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to make sure that God's glorified, that the word of God is upheld. And I'll tell you, what you're going to get today is very practical. It's going to be something where you're like, oh my gosh, how did I not think of that? This is so simple. Because if you're confused, see what the devil wants to do, because Satan is the author of confusion. So if you come into a situation, you're like, man, I'm just confused. I don't have to, listen, you're allowed to have that thought, but let me tell you what that thought is. That thought of confusion is a temptation. You've got to bring that thought into the captivity of Christ. So if I get confused about something regarding my health, our finances, or this church, you know what I've got to do? I've just got to bring God's word into play. And listen, not just read it. I'm not just thumbing through the Bible, just thinking, okay, I got to read something word. I got to get His word in my heart. No, I need a ready word. I need a now word. I need a faith-filled word. I need a word that's applicable for my life right now. Anybody with me on that? Yes. See, that's where we have to get. That's who we have to be. And see, if you're confused in a situation, it's because you're listening to the problem very intently. God's not bringing problems into our life. Let me put that a different way. God will not bring a problem in your life. Will not. So if there's problems, it's not God. What's God? Solutions. What comes between problems and solutions? Show my work. What's my work? God, I read your word. Here's what it says. God, that you give me a life of more than enough. God, you even call the land I live in the land of more than enough. So if the land I live in and the life you promised me, then whoa, wait a minute. Everything's about more than enough for me now. See, Satan is always the author of confusion. Always. Always. And you know what it does? And I'm gonna deal with it here in a minute in this service, but it's natural for us to want to settle on things in life because that's what our flesh Let me just tell you, our flesh is all about good enough. Our flesh is always about risk and reward. It's about good enough. Our spirit man is about winning every battle. Our flesh is, how about this one? Pick your battles. Well, it sounds reasonable, right? Well, I don't know that that's right in my life, Sandy. I don't know if I live with you. I think my battles pick me. I'm not picking battles. But you know what? We've got to come to a place where it's like, okay, in my life, I'm taking on all comers. I mean, that's who I live with. I live with somebody that's like, look, you're not going to try to beat her. You can't. There's a destiny in our life, and that destiny is victory. No matter what package we're in, no matter what vocation we have, no matter what our gifting or our call is, it all funnels to victory. I wish you guys could hear this today, because it's really good. You know, it's natural for us to settle because that's what our flesh wants to do. My flesh, I'll just settle for it. Stop settling. Stop splitting the difference. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and be prepared to walk away from what could be great deals, because if they don't come to you, it's not God. Really, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Man, if you knew the things that have come to Sandy and me, it's absurd. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, the favor of God is so uncomfortable. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to make you comfortable, I came to give you a sword. See, we have to replace the voice of what's inferior in our lives from the world with the voice of God's promise. See, there's so much of I think the world's looking at us, and the world's seeing an inferior, they're as inferior as I am. You're as fallible as I am. See, somehow the body of Christ has to be impenetrable, has to become bulletproof. And the way we do that, the Bible, well, here's where it starts. Paul said, harden yourself to difficulties. But you know what? So many Christians wonder, man, I want to whine about it. I want to find somebody to pray with me about it, because it's hard. It's difficult. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Don't find somebody to pray with. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, because I've overcome the world. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, look, call to me and I'll answer you. And then he said, I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you don't know. You say, man, I don't know what to do. Hey, God, what is it that I don't know? Because I want these great and mighty things. See, what did Jesus said, God's going to send the comforter. He's going to remind you of everything that I said and show you things you didn't know. And they're great and mighty. See, these times of worship that we have, they're for us to experience new wine. When we break open the word, you guys are going to receive new wine in about 5 minutes. It's just going to be mind-blowing for you. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, have I never seen this before? It's so clear. It's so simple. It's so concise. See, all that is required is clarity of communication. That's all it is, because the word is so clear. The word of God always produces new wine. But it's here, listen, to recreate us and for us to be transformed to the image of his son. That people say, well, it was just the sovereignty of God. What was? Oh, that cancer was, or that car wreck was, or that loss of a loved one was, really? Because my Bible doesn't say anything about God being sovereign to that. I mean, zero. Don't feed me that line of bull. Because there's one thing that I know that God's sovereign to, it's transforming us into the image of his son. That's the one thing. Everything's elevating. Everything is building us up. Everything is about making us. Man, God gave one of the Surrett girls, God gave me a word for him at 9:30, that God has set us on a hill that can't be hidden. God has made us the light of the world. Oh my gosh. You know what's on, you know what now? There's a big target on your chest now. So you're going to run and hide? You're going to cower? God, we always could profess this scripture that God had given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You know the true translation of that is? God hasn't given us a spirit of a coward. You know, we don't get to order off a menu in heaven. But we're Word of Faith people, so we're thinking we got a menu. Oh God, I want to start this with an order, an appetizer of healing. God, I got an elbow and a little twinge in my shoulder. Can I order some? Can you do some little something right here? We just have to allow the Spirit of God to move in our lives. And us to move with him. And that's what God's doing in us is the whole key. Right now in this service, in Sepulpa and Skytook, you guys watching online, I break the stronghold of the enemy in everybody's life. And God, I thank you for fresh revelation, a move of your spirit, clarity on the new birth, and our citizenship in heaven. And especially I take authority over mental and emotional illness and disease right now in Jesus' name. Listen, it's depression, it's oppression, it's autism, it's any learning disability. Man, there's adults in this room that you've been plagued with the diagnosis and it's hooked you regarding a learning disability. Dyslexia or something else that has kept you down. I break the bondage of it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now it boils down to whose report are you going to believe? You believe in the report of the Lord? Or are you going to believe the report of the science or the doctor? And the facts may be that you read right to left. The truth is, God's called you. You see, as Christians, we aren't readers. We are avid readers, because the initial get for the gospel is in print. So now we've got to study to show ourselves approved. For some people, it might take you 15 minutes. For some people, it might take you 15 hours. You know what I am? I'm thankful to God that I have 15 hours to get it. See, that's me. I'm not going to read it and just get it. I'm going to read it and reread it and write in the margin of my Bible and underline it and highlight it and circle the page number and write it. And you know what I did early on, the first 2 years I was a Christian? Instead of writing the chapter and verse, I wrote the page number. Why? I got to find it. And I don't want to have to go to the index at the front of the Bible to find where the chapter is. I don't want to have to figure out whether it's Old or New Testament. I want to get right to the page. I want that in my life. You got to make it work for you, because God's promises overcome all sickness and disease, physical, mental, and emotional, in the name of Jesus. So as the man of God of this house, I take authority over all sickness and disease in this place right now, in Jesus' name. Now listen, in your heart, I need you to visualize and see yourself free of the shackles of it. And it might have been your whole dadgum life. Man, some of you guys that are Hispanic, I don't speak English well. Stop saying that. There's no provision in God's word for you not to overcome no matter what. Man, some of you guys, the devil's lying to you and saying, man, you can't lose that extra weight or you can't get fit. You absolutely can. You know what you've got to do is unhook the tether that he's got to your belt. That's all it is. See, this is believing and then corresponding discipline on the backside of it. Because I'm going to go to Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 5, and then we're going to leave. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's usually where my mind goes and I stop. You know why? I'm a fighter. You give me the sharpest sword, I'll fight anybody in here. Man, the devil has a blunt, dull sword. I have a sharp, two-edged sword, okay? But the Bible doesn't stop there. It says piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and listen, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Not only can I not discern what's in your heart, I can't discern what's in my heart. I need God's word to come into play in my heart for me to discern my heart. Oh, I do have an issue with her. Oh, I do have unforgiveness for him. Man, forgiveness is bold talk until God's word comes into play. Man, it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. The two things that I want to bring out of this is sharper than any. Everybody say any. Any two-edged sword. You've got the most potent weapon on the planet. All right? Number one, and it's God's word. Number two, it's piercing. This is an interesting word, and I did a little study this week on how that word pierce and piercing comes into play in the Bible, and it rocked my world. See, the word we speak pierces the enemy in our lives. It's piercing. It's an interesting word that Paul would say the word of God is alive, powerful, and it pierces. In Hebrews 5:12, it says, though for by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. That's interesting. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. See, this whole thing is for us to mature and build. And we go to, there's a verse in Zechariah, I think in the third chapter. But that verse, now listen, let me just quote it for you. In that day, a fountain shall be opened in the house of David. Okay, now think of a fountain pouring out, all right? For the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It's going to happen in the church for the inhabitants in the community. Now listen, for sin and for uncleanness. Okay, now let's fast forward to the cross, the crucifixion. Jesus hanging on a cross. Jesus dies. What do? Pierce his side. Pierce. There's that word again. This is how I stumbled into this. Pierced his side. What flowed from his side? Huh? Blood and water. So we go back to Zechariah. There's going to be a fountain. Here's this fountain. It's going to flow, and it's going to take care of sin and uncleanness. And I've always bundled those two things up into one little unit, sin and uncleanness. Oh, they're the same thing. Au contraire. Sin, the blood takes care of the sin. The water takes care of the uncleanness. See, we get saved, the sin issues taking care of our life, but God's word and a relationship with God's word, the water of God's word, takes care of the uncleanness that's in our lives. But see, most Christians don't develop a true relationship in God's word, so they carry the uncleanness. So they have jealousy, they have pride, they have envy. What are those three things amount to, Sandy? Jealousy, envy, and pride, huh? Witchcraft. So people that are dealing with jealousy, envy, and pride, they're operating in what? Witchcraft. Wait a second. We just got in the deep end. Well, see, we understand that the blood and the water, that the side was pierced, that the word pierces us. What does the word do? Man, the word pierces us. It brings us to the blood of Jesus that takes care of the sin in our life, the separation we have with God, and then the uncleanness, because we're in this world, and we're in this world, and a little bit of it, and a little bit of it, and God's word draws us out of the of part of the world. See, so many people say, God, just take me home. Because they don't have to deal with the part of the world. They're thinking, man, I get out of it, I won't have to be. But God has differentiated, he's given us his word so that we're not captivated by the of the world anymore. That we are in it, but we're not of it. That's why Jesus said this in John 20, 21. He said, peace to you, emphatically. As the Father sent me, I also send you. So he's sending us in righteousness, and we can't be milky Christians. Here's what's interesting, that, and then Jesus turned to him and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on him. Right then the church was born. But then, this is within that 40-day window between the crucifixion, the resurrection, and his ascension. And in that 40-day window, where I always thought the church was born on the day when the day of Pentecost had fully come in the upper room that the Holy Spirit came, but the church was born when they were born again. Those guys weren't born again. Those guys were born again in the 20th chapter of John, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts. It's so clear. This is all about getting the Holy Spirit into play in our lives, in people's lives, in our church, in our home. Why? He's going to remind us of everything Jesus said. He's going to show us things we didn't know. And what does that do? It gives us power and endurance. Man, how do people fall off so haphazardly and so quickly? Some of you guys are going to fall off. You're just going to. I hate to say it. And here's the reason why. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the church. Has nothing to do with the preacher. You can blame the church, you can blame the preacher, but it's all about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what creates endurance in our lives. And let me ask you this, and I've got to end, but I've got to communicate this. This is the knockout punch of this service. What gets trained in your life as you grow in the Word? Think about it. When you grow, you've grown in the Word, right? What gets trained in your life? See, we're thinking it's our spirit man that gets trained. But what truly gets trained in our lives? So we go to Hebrews 5, that we desire the sincere milk of the Word, but we don't get the meat, so we stay babes. And we don't get solid food. And verse 13 says this, for everyone who partakes only of milk. See, this is what's troubling for me. My soul, Sandy, our sole mission on this earth is to get people growing into mature believers. Yet, the average church-going committed Christian comes to church 1.5 times a month. You're never going to get out of milk. And you're a babe. Now listen to this next verse. I've never preached this before. Verse 14 in Hebrews 5. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised or trained to discern both good and evil. See, we're thinking this is a spiritual training that we're going in here, when the Word and us studying the Word and what the Word, the meter, the dial that the Word moves in our life is in our senses. It's in how we see things and how we taste things and how we hear things, how we feel things, how we smell things, all of that. Remember, it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It trains up the natural side of it that is conditioned to go how you were raised and how you've been educated and what you've experienced. Man, some of you guys have all you've experienced of over father or male leaders is abuse and other things. So it's hard to come into church because you got all these guys that are father leaders. And it's like, wait a second, man, what are you in this for? It's like, wait. We've got to get the Word in our lives so that our senses become trained to adjust the adjustment and the transformation that we're now our citizenship's in heaven. It's not on this earth. That Jesus is Lord of our lives, and it's not I who speak, but Christ who speaks in me. I'm going to stop here. I've got a lot more. But I'm just telling you, God's building something in our lives. I'm hearing from God so clearly. I came into this thinking, okay, what's the plan? What's the plan? What's the plan? Now it's just, I'm just going to get up and just tell you what God's told me. And that's the part of this that's going to have staying power for me. What's going to happen after 60 days? I'm going to hear from God so clearly. It's going to be easy to communicate. Now, if you get it, it's up to you to get it. I've got to rightly divide it. I've got to work it into a meal for you. But see, if you go back through this in Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 5 and Zechariah, man, you look at that and it's like, oh my gosh, there's a fountain that's going to flow that's going to take care of sin and uncleanness. And what flowed through the fountain of Jesus on that cross when they pierced? Why did they pierce his side? They want to make sure he was dead? I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, well, this is evidence that he truly died on the cross. Are there people arguing that he didn't? What, he really lived through that? He was there for hours. They didn't break his legs, which was normal because he wasn't breathing anymore. Because after you hang on that cross for a while, you've got to use your heels to take the pressure off your chest so that you can take air in. They didn't have to do that because he had stopped breathing. And they threw that spear and it pierced his side. And what happened? Blood and water. His blood had coagulated and it separated. Why did that have to happen? That guy had to pierce his side. No, the other guys around him are thinking, man, why'd you have to do that? The dude's dead. Because it fulfilled, it pointed back to the prophecy that your sin and your uncleanness would be taken care of. One by the blood, the other by the water. The washing of the water of the word. What does the word do? It keeps me out of the stain of the world. If you don't want to grow, if you don't want to build, if you don't want to mature, if you want to stay a milky Christian, none of this is going to really matter. And God will allow it. It'll grieve his heart. It's meat. I'm going to close with this because I thought of this earlier. What are the ramifications of God's house when we tithe? Some translations say that so that there's food in his house. But correctly translated is so that there's meat in his house. See, it matters where you go to church. It really truly does. Two things. It matters where you go and that you go.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.